We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam in the Morning podcast, brought to you by your local Les Schwab Tire Centers, where I get my wild country tires. Les Schwab, doing the right thing since 1952.
This is Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
They read poetry at a basketball game.
With Dusty Hera.
You're just one thing, dude. You have to use so many cuss words.
And Cam Cleland.
Nunchuck skills, bow hunting skills, computer hacking skills. Girls only want boyfriends who have great skills.
Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
First you gotta do the truffle shuffle.
Come on!
Do it!
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, we're in hour three. Dusty and Cam in the Morning, Luke Anderson filling in one more day before Dusty is back. If you missed anything from the first couple hours, you can go to the Les Schwab Tires podcast. That's on 1080thefan.com. It's pretty easy to find. There's a button that says podcast. Can't figure that out. Shame on you. Also should mention, if you're interested in playing some fantasy football with the fan, Dirt and Sprague are putting together their list of players for different leagues. Some of the show hosts will be hosting leagues. I think Will and I for the Center and the Saint will be hosting one. And if you really want Cam to do it, just flood the text line right now with requests to get him out there. Hey, listen, if everybody wants to be on your team, if we can get all bald gingers, you'd have to come out and play, right? So if you're a bald ginger and you want to play fantasy football, text in right now.
I would need a general manager.
There you go. That party is next Tuesday, Kingpins out in Beaverton. But more importantly, we are 17 days, 8 hours, 24 minutes, and 10 seconds away from kickoff for the opening game of the college football season. And I know it's not the first game. There's a 0 week. I get all that. But the biggest game of week one is the Ducks against Auburn in Jerry World. But I do have some bad college football news that just came across the wire that I need to bring up right now. I'm sure you haven't heard this. This is it's gonna be a tough one to get through, and I apologize to everybody that I have to bring you this story. But College Game Day will be at the Oregon Auburn game. That's the good news. The bad news is Game Day is going to do a week zero. So on the 24th, they're gonna do Game Day from Disney World.
I have anxiety about this.
Why would you do that? Come on. College Game Day is a campus celebration of the game.
That's an ESPN sellout right there.
Isn't it?
It's a straight sellout. And why? Who owns ESPN? Yeah. Who? I don't know. Could it be? This is my church lady.
Yeah.
Could it be?
Very good.
Disney?
Yeah, so on August 24th, College Game Day, week zero, going to have Miami at Florida at Camping World Stadium, which is only a few miles away from the Disney Resort. So they are going to be doing the show from the most magical place on earth.
All right.
Disney World Park in Orlando.
You know what else is the big controversy about this, which is causing a big stir across the country?
What's that?
Is that Old Crimson has not missed a College Game Day.
That's true.
Their fear is that they're not going to be allowed to bring the flag in. And this will stop the streak of Old Crimson being able to be at every College Game Day with their streak.
Yeah. And there are fantastic stories if you read back through the history of trying to get the flag. They've had it where the original flag has disappeared. Yeah. They've had to find a new one, FedEx it, get it in there. Yeah. So you always see the Wazoo flag flying. And Game Day finally went to the Palouse last season, and it was absolutely insane. Does this bother you all that much? I mean, I'm obviously creating a little bit more drama than there needs to be.
I'm super excited about Fox's new Game Day.
Are you really?
Yeah. I mean, of course, Joe Klatt is friend of the show. He will be with us every Friday this year. Excellent. We'll have a
weekly guest. Joe Klatt is great.
Joe Klatt is fantastic.
Yeah.
Joel Klatt is the best in the business. He brings it on the West Coast, and he covers college football as good as anybody in the business, and is fair, equal, except that he came out yesterday with his best list of football jerseys for college football, and because he was a Colorado Buffalo, he picked the first. Which that is not fair.
Well, okay, bias. What's your favorite?
Well, he also said Texas all whites and Penn State all white. I'm like, what? You can't have two all whites.
Lighten up, Cam.
Joel. Cam. I'm getting after him for that already.
Old guy.
That's not fair.
Well, when's the first week Joel's going to be on here?
Before week one.
Yeah,
so before week one. So he'll be
plenty of time to talk about the.
We'll have plenty of time to get there. But yeah, no, I'm very excited for Fox going after. Now, of course, I think Fox has the best NFL pregame show.
Okay.
By far. Yeah. By far. ESPN's is NFL Network. It's not CBS is a lot of old guys.
Yes.
And Nate Burleson, who's great. I love Nate.
ESPN's got some work to do on their Monday Night Football coverage.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. The jury's out on that one.
Well, I mean,
Booger McFarland all day long. We're going to hear from.
We don't have to worry about Jason Witten. He's going back to play football.
He's going
to
play.
He knew.
Comeback player of the year. I'm already giving him comeback player of the year. Right. Hey, just come back. Jason Witten's going to like 70 catches.
Is he demanding $30 million?
No, he's like, I still want to play. Him and his beautiful hair. I think that Fox Network show for college football is going to be good. I think Urban Meyer is going to be really good. You have Matt Leinart. You have Reggie Bush, Joel Klatt. All those guys are going to be, it's going to be stellar.
Yeah. Do you think they'll give ESPN Klatt a run for their money?
He'll be doing that. He won't be on the pregame show. He does in studio.
Okay.
Or in game.
Yeah. Fox will give ESPN a run for their money?
And not the first year show? Because College Game Day it's a brand that's been around for so long. I mean, I used to watch it every morning. It'd be a 12:30 kick. You just get up. You'd be like, oh, they're going to talk about us today. That's the best feeling. Now, still having Kirk Herbstreit and coaches at some point in time. I don't know. I mean, I'm not a Desmond Howard fan. I think he still hates the Huskies so much from 1991, and he's just very, very bitter. So, yeah, no, it's college football coverage is going to be better. It's going to be a lot better this year.
Yeah.
Less of Paul Feinbaum and more of Fox.
Well, there you go. That's where your viewing viewership is going to go. Mm-hmm. I think that the game day atmosphere is second to none. And part of it is, and part of the reason that it came across the way that it did, I'm looking at an article right now on For the Win, and they're saying ESPN already ruined its first game day broadcast of 2019 football season. Listen, they can do it from Disney World if they want to, and that's going to be, it'll be fine. And I'm sure that they'll make sure that, it still has a similar atmosphere, but the on-campus atmosphere, and I just think back to last year when they went out to Pullman to do the show out there, how many people I knew that were going out there. Our own Patrick Harris, who does the Hot Corner on Wednesdays, he went out there because he's an alum, and he just said it was an incredible experience. And for those schools, one of the things that you really want to be a part of, if your team can earn the right to get game day to come out, of course they're going to show up in the mainstays, but to have them come out to your school when you're kind of one of those fringe schools is a really, really big deal. So I think they've created that atmosphere, and I don't think Fox will be able to compete with that.
In time.
I hope so, because why not? You can't have too much great college football atmosphere, right?
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Because everybody's college football atmosphere, when you're there, that's the place to be.
Yeah. Well, and if you go down to Autzen, you get the honor, potentially, of seeing Dusty Hara riding around in his golf cart before the game.
And he gets to get in a cute little golf cart. Hopefully his car doesn't catch on fire, and he gives you a potentially... His car caught on fire. And I made fun of him because it was a Ford. I said, you know what? Of everybody's car that caught on fire, yours got destroyed the most. It's karma.
That's what you get for driving.
So he drives around in a golf cart, and he gives away a Yeti Coors Light cooler.
Yeah. So.
God, I want one of those. what do I got to do to get one of those?
Well, you can just go buy a Yeti and then draw your own Coors Light logo.
Good point.
Get a Sharpie and a Yeti.
And do
Put your own logo on it. You'll be just fine.
17 days away.
Tick, tick, tick. 17 days, 8 hours, 16 minutes, and 53 seconds before you get
I can't wait for that week Oregon, of breakdown game.
Auburn. Well, you get the 0 week, so you get a little
teaser. Yeah, I know. We get a little bit of a tease.
0 week, far greater than NFL preseason because it's not doing a whole lot for me so far. All right.
Ducks got a lot of expectations. Lot.
Yes,
they do. A lot.
Yeah. Well, let's get back into the Ducks' expectations at 8:30. But I have one more question to kind of wrap up this whole thing that we've been talking about this morning, which is the player holdouts. What can the NFL do to fix it? This is a very direct question. And I know your answer will be different than the text line. So text line, if you could come through, 55305, better you today, text line. Do you think less of your favorite players if they hold out for your team? Send those in. We'll get to your answers. We'll do it next. This is Dusty and Cam in the Morning right here on 1080 The Fan. Just want to listen to some Diddy. I guess this is Biggie.
No, this is Diddy.
That's Biggie on the thing. Yeah.
But it will be Biggie.
Well, yeah. No, this is Diddy. Is this a
collaboration
track?
I believe. Who was credited with actually making this track?
I think it was P. Diddy.
Was it
That's
Diddy?
What I thought it was.
Diddy featuring Biggie and Mace?
Mace. Yeah.
Bring it back.
It's taking it back. What is this? Is this 97?
Seven? 96? Yeah, I would say 97.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, let me go 97. I think that's kind of
final rough. Answer.
Final answer. All right, I asked a question before break. I asked, do holdouts make you think less of players? When we were talking about this in the 6 o'clock hour, a lot of people came in and they were kind of griping about, oh, you know, these guys so entitled, da 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 da. I always wonder how quickly we recover from those things. It's always funny how you go out there and you kind of, you know, can ridicule the guy. So I asked the question on the Better You Today text line. It came back immediately. Cowboys fan here. Yeah. Less of Zeke due to the holdout. He's got 2 years left on his contract. This year isn't the year to sit. Next year, sure, I'm okay with that. He also needs to prove that he can stay out of trouble.
So if it's not the year to sit out, ask yourself this question then, Cowboy fan. If he sits out, Dak gets $34 million and Amari Cooper gets $22 million and Zeke gets back and he breaks his ankle, what do you do? Why would you wait for someone else to get paid so then you get paid?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, another thought comes in.
It doesn't make any sense.
Well, it comes in another, just the opposite side of it. That's why I want to get the listeners.
Yeah, I know. No, this is about them too.
Yeah. This guy says, not even a little. Players have a limited amount of time to earn money before they're not able to play football. There aren't many people that can play into their 40s like Tom Brady. Make the money while you can. The league doesn't offer guaranteed contracts, so you've got to look out for yourself. Mm-hmm. Right?
That's a stable mindset.
It does, yeah. And you know, here's another one. It depends on the reason. Pouting about it just makes you look bad, but I understand. Here's my thing. If Zeke holds out, let's say even misses the first two games of the year, if he comes back and they win, and he leads them to a Super Bowl.
Which is
you forget so quickly. I mean, the Seahawks have had their run of holdouts. Earl Thomas, Cam Chancellor. These are guys that have helped you win already, and you realize that it doesn't affect you. The holdout doesn't affect your fandom unless they start missing games. Now, Cam Chancellor missed games during the regular season, but when he comes back, you're like, oh, thank God he's back. I mean, it literally takes the snap of a finger for you to get over a player holding out. And you don't know what's going on with, you know, the internal conversations that they're having with the team.
Are you a better team with or without Ezekiel Elliott? Can you win a Super Bowl? Can you beat some of these? Can you beat the LA Rams?
Yeah.
In the NFC Championship game, potentially. Can you even beat the Philadelphia Eagles within your own division?
Mm-hmm.
Can you find a way to do that without Ezekiel Elliott? Remember, this insanity that you can all be Bill Belichick and just pay $3.8 million for all of his running backs.
Yep.
That's it. That's all. That's it. That's the exact amount of money that the Patriots have invested in their running backs. Isn't that incredible that they do that? You're not Bill Belichick. And nobody is.
Yep.
So if you mean to tell me you can find that, by all means, Cowboys, you go ahead and do that. Your franchise is worth $5.1 billion. You go find that extra running back and you let me know. And you can get that DeMarco Murray back there and you can save our offensive line. We can put anybody behind there.
Yeah.
Fine. You go do that.
Being slated into the rookie scale is BS. No other production-based job has a mandated salary. That's, I think, part of the issue that may come up out of all of this when we get into, you know, the CBA negotiations is they've already adjusted it once, but the pay scale.
Rookie scale is
for rookies is it's been adjusted so that they don't get overpaid. It used to be that the first round draft pick, Jamarcus Russell, they would get paid.
Sam Bradford was the last one to benefit from that incredible structure. I think he got somewhere around $56 million.
Yeah.
As a rookie that's never played.
Exactly.
Terrible.
So, but what's the balance? What's the in-between? Now you've got a first-round pick is under team control for 5 years.
Well, really six with that
it's a fifth-year option.
Correct.
It? Yeah.
I think that everything should be three, and I've said this before multiple times. All draft choices should have it shouldn't matter if you're first round or all the way down. Your salaries are already slotted, you know, so you can't negotiate for more. They're already slotted.
Yep.
But you shouldn't have someone's rights for five seasons when you don't have that opportunity to be able to get to a contract when you've proven yourself, like Alvin Kamara is one of the best, and he's going to make $1 million this year.
How long
are the Saints better with or without Alvin Kamara?
What, 700 rushing yards, 700 receiving yards?
Michael Thomas just got his contract. Yep. Alvin Kamara is a huge, huge asset. The guy, he'll rush for 1,500 yards, and then he'll have 75 catches. That's a million-dollar guy.
How long does it take a rookie player to make an impact on an NFL roster?
Immediately.
Yeah.
Immediately, first day out.
Yeah, we wait 5 years to see what we're
immediately. And then you're sitting, well, we got that guy on that rookie contract.
Yep.
We'll be able to do that. The only way you can end up doing that is having quarterbacks that find ways to not be hurt or keep them healthy for even three. But three is that magic number. You know what you got immediately.
Yeah. Well, we talked about it earlier. Somebody texted in when we were talking about this
earlier. Not like the NBA where you're waiting for CJ McCollum to pop after three seasons. You're like, oh, he had a good bill. He's kind of developing.
Well, the average duration of an NBA career is a lot longer.
Yeah.
And you have a lot fewer guys on your roster.
Yeah, you only have 15 guys on there.
But somebody brought it up earlier when we were having this conversation on the text line, and they said, why should players honor the contract if the owners don't?
100%.
The owners love to stand behind that rookie contract.
Yes, they do.
Because it benefits them immensely.
Here's the other part, too, that gets it even worse. If you're a quality player, and you end up playing that fourth year and you get that fifth year option, what do teams then use after that fifth season? Called what?
Franchise tag.
Franchise tag. Mm-hmm. And then that gives you a percentage of the top five. Doesn't give you the most, but only guarantees you one, and you don't sign it. Because guess who's in that situation right now? Jadeveon Clowney sitting down in Houston, and he's holding out because he's like, you guys want me to make what? And I'm worth what? You only want to pay me this franchise tag number? Here's what I'm worth. Pay me the extra 5 years and do that. So you could honestly get 2 years of franchise. You're a top running back, Ezekiel Elliott. Why wouldn't the Cowboys just let him play out his rookie contract, franchise him for two seasons? His career's over after 7 years.
Yeah.
He's done. His shelf life value is done. Zeke knows it. His agent knows it. His owners know it. So he's holding his services.
Yeah.
If I explained it to you that way, wouldn't that make sense why he's holding out?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a imbalance in production versus pay.
Yeah.
And the rookie contract is absolutely the worst. But if you sign one of these big contracts, Dak gets into that $32, $35 million. He's going to get a huge guaranteed number with that. But if his production goes down, if he gets hurt, if he's no, it'll cut him. It'll hit the cap a little bit, but they're going to be able to get out of it. You have all these outs. You can build in incentive-laden contracts for veterans. You see those all the time. The problem is that there's going to be an imbalance. My fear is that it turns into a work stoppage, and we're going to have that in 2 years.
Ask yourself this.
The NFL needs to get way ahead of it.
Well, it does. Ask yourself this. How much of being the quarterback of America's team and the world's most valuable sports franchise have to do with the ego of wanting more money as a quarterback?
Yeah. Or as running back or wide receiver.
If you're the Dallas Cowboys starting quarterback, what does that guarantee you in life? Well, first of all, you get a studio host job right away.
Because
you'll get Troy Aikman and you'll get Tony Romo, and then Jason Witten gets a shot. So whatever you do, I mean, he's a tight end. But that's part of the ego of being the world's most valuable franchise. You're the starting quarterback of America's team.
Yep.
Does that bump you up an extra $4 or $5 million?
Sure.
When you're trying to negotiate, are you worth more than Kirk Cousins? Is Dak Prescott worth more than Kirk Cousins? Is Dak Prescott worth more than Matt Ryan?
Yeah.
If Matt Ryan is the starting quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys, Matt Ryan is getting $40 million.
Yeah. Well, and the other interesting thing, when you bring up Dak, the other interesting thing is, what is a good starting quarterback worth? I mean, not
good.
Great.
We're talking great. Top 20? We're talking, because Dak Prescott is somewhere in that, he's in that 12 to 22 range.
What has killed?
That's how I would put him.
Yeah, that's fine. What has killed the Cleveland franchise? What has killed the
Bad
Browns?
Drafts.
Well, but it's
incessantly bad drafts.
It's also the lack of stability. I mean, they have been a rotating door. The Cowboys went through this with the Aaron Brooks, Quincy Carter, Drew Henson years where they didn't have a quarterback. And Tony Romo never ended up being the guy that took them to the Super Bowl, but he was a very good quarterback. I wouldn't say he was elite, but he's a very good quarterback. And he gave them stability where you went into a season knowing that you can win. The only quarterback with more wins over the last 3 years than Dak Prescott is Tom Brady.
I think Dak Prescott is 29-15 as a career. That's pretty good starting. But also, too, the change of this season is going to be super significant because none of us know, with Scott Linehan gone as the offensive coordinator, now you're moving in Kellen Moore as the first-year offensive coordinator. How are the Cowboys going to look different? Are they going to allow and release the reins? I can speak specifically to Coach Linehan because he was my offensive coordinator at Washington, but then he took over as the head coach of the St. Louis Rams, and then he was Detroit's offensive coordinator. Very conservative. Very conservative of ugly four. We want to have a great ground game. Cowboys have always had a great ground game, and that's why Zeke has exploded. I don't know. None of us know how that kind of offense with Amari and Zeke Elliott is going to perform with Kellen Moore calling plays, and neither does Dak.
Yeah.
Terminology will probably be the same with Jason Garrett. It's still kind of the West Coast terminology. What's the Cowboys going to look like?
Yeah.
Are they going to be different? Are they going to be more open up? Do you believe that Dak Prescott can make those big arm throws?
Well, yet to
be seen. $32 million are going to tell you that he's probably asking somewhere between 32 and 34 because the market has been set with Russell Wilson at 35. He's nowhere near worth that when it comes to, but the final point, you're worth what someone's willing to pay you.
Exactly. And what's the alternative to paying Dak Prescott?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's those are the two different
things.
You can
hold out and draft Trevor Lawrence in the 2 years and get really bad. Yeah. I don't know. You can get lucky.
If you're bad enough.
And hope he's good in the NFL. And hope.
Yeah.
Like, hope.
It's the devil you know versus the devil you don't. Yeah. Who knows? You brought up the expectations for the Ducks. Let's talk some Oregon Ducks football. We'll do that right after Ryan Buckley brings you this fantastic sports update. Welcome back in to Dusty and Cam in the morning. Dusty is out for one more day. I guess two more segments. Depends on how you do your math. We are 17 days, 7 hours, 56 minutes, and 25 seconds away from the kickoff between the Oregon Ducks and the Auburn Tigers. Yesterday, Cam was griping. Weird.
About?
You were complaining about the national media downplaying the expectations for Auburn. Kind of creating the idea that if Oregon doesn't win, it should be disappointing. So it's kind of downplaying the idea that Oregon isn't that great. But
no, it's downplaying the fact that Auburn isn't that great.
Yeah, but the win over Auburn, an Oregon
win.
Would
be win. Just, oh, a quality win.
Yeah, it's
a decent win.
They did
win.
What they were supposed to do.
But if Auburn beats Oregon,
yeah,
guess what happens?
Yeah.
That SEC, like, Pac-12 is garbage.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? Oh, it's all bad.
But if you take a pulse meter and you start in Eugene, and as you go away from it, obviously, the closer you are, the higher the expectations are for Oregon this year. And nationally, Oregon is expected to be a very good team. They're not ranked ahead of Washington in the preseason polls, but 13 is a pretty high ranking. They're getting a lot more attention. I think Mario Cristobal has really built a team that is expected to have a very different image, a different mentality than what we were seeing certainly with Mark Helfrich and Chip Kelly before him. And even the Willie Taggart era, where I think they still wanted to kind of keep that fast-paced identity. This is going to be a hit-you-in-the-mouth style team. They've got one of the best quarterbacks in college football. The expectations are extremely high for Oregon this year.
We haven't had – this is kind of one of the first years in quite some time. We haven't had a top 10 Pac-12 team in the preseason rankings. And you're going to see really quick how this conference matches up. not only with some of these top teams, but there's a lot of good football. There's certainly in the Big Ten. Got some identity issues with Ohio State. What are they going to be? Well, when I'm looking at Oregon coming into this game, and I feel this from the get-go, I haven't been this excited about a Pac-12 opener. Now, certainly, that's certainly not my alma mater, but I'm talking about good football. We're witnessing right here a complete shift in what we've always thought what Oregon football is with Mario Cristobal. This is head-to-head big uglies versus big uglies. Coach Cristobal is not going to – we're out of the Chip Kelly, the speed, the intent. It's going to have that kind of a mindset. Athletes are athletes, five-star, four-star. But this is a get in the trenches. We have to be more physical than you. When have you ever looked at an Oregon team and felt at this point in time right now that your offensive line could be not only the best in the country, but the ability to run the football down the throats of a SEC team who has just – riches
NFL
of
talent
and size every single, I mean, just depth all over the place. You have, and we're talking about some of the giants you're going to have, not with quarterbacks. Think about how big these quarterbacks are just in the Pac-12 North. You could have Jake Eason at 6'6", 230. Justin Herbert is 6'6". He is what is he, 240?
Yeah, well, he's huge. Certainly a lot bigger than he was. He's put on
massive.
More muscle.
He's just a monster. KJ Costello is a mutant. Jake Luton is 6'7".
Yeah.
We have some guys that are just huge, big arms, big talent. The Pac-12 in the North is going to have that kind of moxie back there throwing footballs. This is going to be a ground and pound. Stanford, we know, is ugly up front. They're going to do it. I'm super excited to see what the game plan is early with what Oregon's going to do. How are they going to do it? Are they going to want to come out and throw the hammer down? Are they going to be careful? A lot of inside zone read, a lot of that quick dive. Are they going to let Justin get out on the edge? Is he going to want to take arm talent and take it on the edge with some of his wide receivers? Are we going to see some of the tight ends? Are they going to be different with McCormick and Breland? How are these guys? And then you're going to let C.J. Verdell just run ramshot. So they're going to have to. And that's immediately. Let's look at this from the first snap all the way through to the first part of the quarter. Put your eyes on that front. Watch if Oregon can move. Watch if Oregon can control the line of scrimmage early in this football game. And that's what Auburn, and if you can debilitate them, because Gus Malzahn's coaching for his job. If you can get on them mentally early, I think that's what they have to do. Yeah. Is take Pac-12 has to establish themselves mentally and physically that they can match up. Or it's going to be another constant narrative that this conference doesn't have the depth or the physicality to handle the push that teams like Oklahoma, Texas, and all these other SEC teams can do, and I'm saying it to us because we're only the ones out here on this West Coast, can do to us.
Yeah. The Oregon Ducks have a unique situation where they've got, you know, a top NFL draft pick at quarterback, came back for his senior year. Not saying they won't be able to reload at the quarterback position, but this is a unique season. Is this one of those moments where the expectations are going to affect the future of this program if they don't live up to the hype this year? Is it a step back if they don't win this year? Because I think a lot of people have the feeling where it's okay, we got Troy Dye back, we got Justin Herbert back, we got our guys that have gone through three head coaches and have played since freshman and been impact players since freshman.
Right.
These guys are special. The team around them
defense returners,
is very
starters.
Good.
Yeah, there's so much.
What is it, 19 starters back for this team? Is this a make it or break it year, or is this just another year for Mario Cristobal to put his image on this team?
I was asked, I think Dusty asked this, or I wanted to, it was right before we went on vacation, and the kind of the question was, is who's got more pressure, Coach Cristobal or Justin Herbert? To me, it's Justin Herbert.
Yeah.
Coach Cristobal is just building. He's still his recruiting classes. He's getting there, and he has his identity stamp on this. Justin has never finished a season. He's been touted as one of the best quarterbacks in the country since he took over as freshman in 2016 and came in and hasn't made it through that year. Last year's bowl game, this is a fair comment. That was underwhelming. A 7-6 win.
Yeah.
And I get it. It's a win. We're looking for him. And everybody that's a fan of Pac-12 football, especially if you're an Oregon Duck fan, you're looking for something that separates him nationally. Now, I'm not gonna sit here and compare him to Marcus because that's not fair.
Yeah.
But for Justin, he's going to get drafted. He's going to be a top player no matter what. He's going to get a shot to play in the NFL.
And that's just size and talent.
That's a no question because of his talent. For him, I think as a player and cement his, not going to worry about legacy at Oregon, but I think even for his own mindset, he wants to get out there and say, I can not only make it through a season, but I can be that leader that Oregon's looking for, a quarterback, that big, powerful guy that we can do this. All of us are looking for it.
How much of it is on Marcus Arroyo and his play calling? Because that got a it got a lot of criticism last year. But again, we've talked about it. This is a different offense. If you're waiting for Marcus Arroyo to call plays like Chip Kelly, it's not going to happen.
It's not even in the same verbiage. It's not even on the same landscape.
So now you have a team that has another year of experience. You've got an offensive line that is that much better than they were last year. Everybody returns on an already great offensive line. You get your quarterback back. So you have as much continuity as you'll ever have in college football as far as returning players go. Is it up to Justin Herbert to make more of the plays that are called? Or do you think there's room for better play calling?
I think Coach Arroyo is going to have to be more versatile with it. But that's kind of the mindset of what Oregon is that I think there was an immediate kind of mental transition. Because when you go from Willie Taggart, that's on a different offensive scheme too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He doesn't have the same thought process. So now that you have Coach Cristobal and Coach Arroyo want to be able to be physical and they run the football. But even in Oregon in their heyday, they would average 280 yards per on the ground with Chip.
Yep. Yeah, they were run first offense
absolutely.
With Mariota. Yeah.
So there's not like this huge mental shift to it. The thing about Justin Herbert is he has the kind of arm talent and ability to flip fields on guys and in games that we just haven't seen that for a consistent amount. And like some of the texters have said, they've gone on the road, they've laid eggs at Washington State, they've laid eggs in Arizona. When you're like, okay, this team played well at home. This is an away game as much as it is. Yeah. Call it what it is. This is an away game.
Well, it's an away game, but it's a home game for Auburn too.
It's neutral Texas, site. But yeah, this isn't as bad as it was last year watching Washington play Auburn in Atlanta. Which is a joke. But this is one of those, you know who you are when you're on the road.
Yeah.
The Oregon Ducks have been terrible on the road. That's a legitimate comment. They've been terrible in the bowl game. They haven't been great on the road. They can establish this identity immediately. And they could say, we're going to be one of those teams. Because remember, they're going to have to face Washington on the road. And they're going to have to have those big games.
At Stanford, at USC, I believe, this year.
So those, being able to take that game and get out of Eugene and carry it, that's what they're going to have to do.
Does a loss against Auburn in Dallas and their
conference chance done.
The whole conference.
No, the whole conference is done.
Yeah.
Because there's no other big games the rest of the season. What are you going to ask for Stanford to beat Notre Dame later?
Yeah.
What's the other big game that will carry? Everybody that's anybody in college football will ride off the Pac-12 after this game if Oregon does not win. That's the pressure that this game has.
All right. There it is. Let's put a bow on the show. We'll do that next. I have nothing else to say after that. I think you're right. I think you're right. It's the whole conference waiting on that. We'll put a bow on the show. Update you on the Oregon Little League teams. If you haven't been following that, we'll get those for you. And we'll send you on your way for the day. Next, Dusty and Cam in the Morning, right here on the 1080 The Fan. All right, welcome back. One more segment. We turn it back to Dusty tomorrow. Be back from Disneyland. It'll just be Disneyland stories tomorrow. You ready for that?
I don't know.
And then we did this ride. Great.
And we walked there. I got it.
We were at the parade. The fireworks were so good.
We got the cotton candy. We already beat you to it.
Yeah.
And move on.
You ever have the Dole Whip down there?
Yeah. God.
Yeah.
Oh, so Better You Today text line. Even as a Pac-12 fan, I'm hoping Auburn crushes Oregon. I don't want to see Oregon win. I don't like it. I'm sorry. I know loss to Oregon kills the Pac-12, but my desire to see Oregon suffer is greater than wanting to see the Pac-12 succeed. That's P1 Dustin. I love your loyalty. I don't want you to take away anyone's hate or disdain for a Pac-12 or for a program. You be you as a listener or as a fan. I get that.
Yeah.
I'm sad for college football from only one standpoint, is that regionally it's become so exclusive.
Yeah.
And as much as I have biases or anything, I don't like the idea that one part of a country can be eliminated from an opportunity based upon a perception of few. Yeah. And that is the hardest thing for me to deal with. And no matter what your loyalty stands, that's where we're at. And that's my plight. That's my college football because I love it.
Yeah. Well, and somebody else says, I'm tired of this Oregon hype. They haven't won 10 games since 2014. But this station and nationally, they are picked to be a playoff team. Ridiculous. Well, no, it's not. They have 19 returning starters. Mm-hmm. They have one of the best quarterbacks in the country. They have one of the best offensive lines in the country. And if you look at it from a hype standpoint, hype is hot air. It's expectations. They still have to live up to it.
Sure.
You can have expectations of a team and they can fall short. Mm-hmm. We're not saying that, you know, there's a guarantee. There's a reason they play the games. Dirt and Sprague were doing this thing last week, I think, where they're going, if you could guarantee a 10-win season Oregon right now, would you take it? No. I want to see how it plays out. I will always take the gamble of what happens. But hype, justified or not, is just hot air. Well, and we're talking about it because these are the perceptions. There are college football experts that look at the team, they evaluate the schedule and who they're playing against and what they're going to be. It's all hot air. We feed that because that's our job. These are the conversations. So don't be tired of the hype. If you don't like Oregon, embrace the hype, because if they fall short, you can go, I told you so. But the expectation of the Pac-12 is somebody needs to be great in this conference. The ACC is a weak,
mediocre
college
other than
football
one
conference.
Mediocre.
But they have one great team, and they have an opportunity to play for a championship every year. The Pac-12 doesn't even get a chance to measure up. Mm-hmm. And people point to Washington kind of getting, you know, out-muscled by Alabama a couple years ago as a signal that the Pac-12 doesn't belong. But what happened when Oregon played in the college football playoff? They played against a team that hadn't lost a game in, 26 straight or whatever it was? They had gone undefeated for 2 years going into the first college football playoff, and Oregon embarrassed Florida State in that game. The lasting image of that game is Jameis Winston fumbling backwards, tripping over himself, running away from an Oregon pass rush.
But we can look back to that, but that's the thing is that how much has college football changed even since that?
For sure. And they totally have. And so if you have a problem with Oregon, to Cam's point, is if they don't win that game, the perception of the Pac-12 doesn't change.
Yeah,
and if you're a Washington fan, if you're a USC fan, whatever it is, you need the Pac-12 to bow its back and stand up and be better against other conferences. We're 2 years removed from them not winning a bowl game.
Yeah, someone or a Husky fan or anybody that sometimes will tell me, said, how can you dare think that it's good for Oregon to win? Here's what I selfishly want. This is the ultimate selfish mindset of it. I want Oregon to be undefeated when they go up to Seattle.
Of course you do.
Why wouldn't I?
Makes it for a better game.
I want Washington State to be undefeated when they play in the Apple Cup.
Yeah.
I want Stanford to be, I want Utah.
Yeah.
That is what I want.
Yeah.
I don't want to
be a giant killer.
If I want to beat a team that's already got three losses, does that buoy up my schedule? Does that help me nationally credibility? Because that's the only thing. There's only four spots, dude. Well, there's only four. So if I'm going to get into that four, I need those teams that I beat to be undefeated or better or be ranked somewhere in the perception, as my air quotes go.
Yeah.
They need to be up to the level.
Well, and if the Pac-12 has the four best teams in the country, five best teams in the country, they all beat each other in a round robin, doesn't matter.
No.
Doesn't matter one bit if they don't win the big, high-profile non-conference games. And I'm sorry, there just aren't enough of them. And this is what we talked about this yesterday when Nick Saban was saying Power 5 schools should play all Power 5 schools. Because then you would get a better evaluation of how good these schools are. But when you have these one-off opportunities to go and play Auburn in a big game, that's the biggest game the Pac-12 has outside of USC and Stanford playing Notre Dame.
Yep.
And so if you don't get that win for the conference, then it doesn't matter if Washington and USC and Utah all have great seasons. If they trade losses amongst themselves and all have two losses, only two teams can be represented in the championship game, and you're going to fall short, and you're going to be sitting on the outside of the playoffs going, I wish we had a chance to be in the playoffs.
Yeah. I wish we had a more quality win on the outside.
Yeah, exactly. But you think the tournament is equal for the Pac-12 playing against themselves as it is for
not
Oklahoma against
the Pac-12? Yeah, but we hold on to this standard of nine conference games. If you hold this nine conference game standard and the other one's playing eight, well, they got 14 teams and we got 12 and all this other stuff. Well, I'm sorry to tell you.
What would Washington do if it traded places with Oklahoma if it played a Big 12 schedule? What would Oregon do if it traded places? You'll never know that.
You can't even argue that.
Yeah, exactly. Because what's our game? What's our Big 12 game this year? Oregon State against Oklahoma State? Is that going to tell you which conference is better?
Well, it's going to tell you immediately where Oregon State is, but it's not going to tell. It's going to tell you a lot because Oregon State's in the basement of this conference. Yeah.
But it doesn't tell you anything about conferences versus conferences. So you need Oregon to get a big win. All right. Hey, I did want to give you an update. Little League World Series. Unfortunately, the Willow Creek Oregon team in the softball World Series fell short. They lost in extra innings 3-2 to a team from New Jersey or something. Doesn't matter. But yeah, extra innings. They made it two extras in the semifinals.
Man.
Semifinals had a chance to go to play for it all. The boys from Sprague will play on Friday.
Still in it. Getting a chance to go all the way back to Williamsport.
Yeah, they won the regional against Coeur d'Alene. So they're, the tournament for the boys starts tomorrow. But the first game for Sprague will be on Friday. So keep an eye out for that.
That's awesome.
Rooting for the Oregon teams in the Little League World Series.
Love it. So. It's good baseball up here, man.
Yeah.
There's
some really, really good teams throughout my youth and over the years. So, yeah, somebody to root for in Oregon. If you hate the Oregon Ducks, you can at least root for Oregon Little League, maybe.
I hate Oregon Little League, too. I went to Wazoo. How dare you?
All right. Thank you, Cam. Thank you, Ryan Buckley.
I always appreciate
you guys having me in. It's always fun to join. Dusty will be back tomorrow, but we're all done. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.